Morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Let's FM 99.7.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Actually, turn my mic on. Now you can hear me. All right, been one of those weeks. We are going to be worshiping from our hymnals. Everybody grab a hymnal. We don't have a service in the PowerPoint at the moment, and so we're going to have to go from the hymnal. And that's kind of switching up Rachel and I right now, and we'll get through it. We'll get through it. All right. So, he put the right slide up here. We're going to start with hymn 870. You might want to turn to that. The setting that we'll be following, the liturgy that we'll be following, is on page 154. I don't know what happened there. Todd, is there a reason it's off the screen? All right. What a night. All right. Our worship themes. We are talking about a couple different things. Christ through us is what we're celebrating for our 175th anniversary of the Wells. And it's very appropriate to have LPS here on Sunday, because when you talk about Christ through us, he certainly works through his chosen ministers. And LPS is a training school for the ministry. But many of those kids who go there do turn out to just be regular lay people, and they have, you know, wonderful encouragement for us in out in the world, and understand what some of our called workers have gone through. And so it's just perfect that we're able to talk about Christ through us in this way. But we always need to remember that when he says Christ through us, he's also talking about the lay people too. That's you guys. That God works through you where you live and are. Okay, we begin our worship with our first hymn, which is 870, O Church Arise. Please turn to 870, which I gotta get to yet. O Church Arise. Nope, you're fine.
We invite you to the Sunday worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Tutor Ryan Gergel will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture readings from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Who am I? No. Who is he? Our worship today will be setting 4.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we live in this world, bless us with faithful pastors and teachers as you have for the last 175 years of our Wells Synod. Continue to bless us with faithfulness above all, that we may not stray from your word, and that we may have your blessing of fellowship and joy together. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated for our lessons. All right. Not doing it with books, Pam. We've been doing it with books for a while. All right. Our first lesson is Deuteronomy 1 through 9. Here, Moses is making it clear that we have been contentious with our God, and yet God still loves us and watches over us, and he is always with us. He wants us to make that important for ourselves and tie his word to ourselves. We read. Moses spoke as follows. Now this is the body of commands, and these are the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God commanded me to teach to you, so you may carry them out in the land to which you are crossing over to receive as a possession, so that you may fear the Lord your God by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I am commanding to you, as well as to your children and grandchildren all the days of your life, and so that your days may be long. He had just spoken the Ten Commandments in chapter 5. Listen, O Israel, and be conscientious about doing these things, so it may go well for you, and so you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words that I am commanding you today are to be on your heart. Teach them diligently to your children, and speak about them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a sign on your wrists, and they will serve as symbols on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your houses and on your gates. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our epistle reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. Here, Paul explains to us that we have that same ministry. And just as we keep ourselves by keeping the word close to our heart, we also let that word loose by taking that ministry to others. You read in 2 Corinthians. And all of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, and as much as God is making an appeal through us, we urge you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for our gospel lesson for the words and works of Christ. And now Jesus demonstrates that he uses others to also bring his word to the world, as he called Simon Peter. One time, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there along the lake shore. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. He sat down and began teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered him, "Master, We work hard all through the night and caught nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were about to tear apart. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Then they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man." For Peter and all those who were with him were amazed at the number of fish they had caught. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Have no fear. From now on you will be catching people." After they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and we will sing our next hymn, hymn 716, O Christ Who Called the Twelve. O Christ Who Called the Twelve.
We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Imagine with me this evening that you're hired for a job that you have absolutely no business being hired for, no qualifications. An idea that came to mind, a silly example, would be being hired as a gourmet chef when you barely know how to cook a frozen pizza. It's not gonna go well, right? Now not only are you in charge of some intricate menu, but you've got a team of chefs that are looking up to you and the frenzied life of the restaurant business. It's not going to go well. You'd be asking yourself, who am I to be doing this? And why did they accept my resume? And as silly as that is, though, that kind of a feeling is actually something ministers of the gospel feel quite often. As we consider the intricacies of our holy God, his unfathomable riches of his wisdom, his holiness, his power, and then we look at ourselves and see our own sin and our own unworthiness, our own faults, and we think, who am I? Who am I that I should be the one standing in front of you, sharing the mysteries of Christ with you, preaching God's word to you? But this kind of feeling is something that God's people have been feeling really from the beginning. We saw it in the Apostle Peter, tonight's gospel reading. He had witnessed the power of God before his very eyes, that miraculous catch of fish, and he realized just exactly who Jesus was. And so he had to fall down before him and say, "Go away from me, I am a sinful man." Only for Jesus to say, "Be not afraid. And why don't you come catch people for me?" Who am I? He must have thought. Or how about the Apostle Paul, who made his appeal to us in 2 Corinthians 5? He was a persecutor of Christians. He was enemy number one of the new believers in Christ. And yet God called him. Who am I? And now tonight, I want to zoom in on the call of Moses, the one who made his appeal to us in Deuteronomy 6, because when he was called by God, he quite literally did say, "Who am I to do this?" But as we zoom in on Moses, it makes complete sense why he would say this. Moses had messed up. Moses had it all. He had been raised in the palace of the Egyptian Pharaoh. But yet he put that aside because he wanted to be numbered with God's people, the Hebrews, and he was on fire for it until one day he took things a little too far when he killed an Egyptian, having to bury his body in the sand. He thought he could cover that up. He thought nobody really knew about it, but next thing he knew, the Hebrews were upset with him and Pharaoh was upset with him, and so he had to run out of town into the wilderness of Moab, thinking all was lost. He'd ruined the trajectory of his life. And now he had had 40 years, nothing but time and sheep herding, to think about all those ways he'd messed it up. All those years thinking he's unworthy, until suddenly there was a burning bush one day on the side of a mountain. And when he looked a little closer, he realized this was no normal fire. Maybe he'd see desert fires sometimes, but the bush wasn't burning up. And so, of course, he does what anyone would do. He goes to get a closer look and investigate, and that's when he hears it. A voice unlike any he's heard before. "Moses, Moses, here I am." Yes, there he was. In the midst of the Almighty God himself, whose first words in almost 300 years were his name. "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And at this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. And who can blame him? The Almighty God of all his great ancestors before him talking to him. And he wasn't done. If we look at Exodus 3, he goes on to give the grand plan he has to save his people, the Hebrews, out of Egypt. He's seen their misery. He's seen how their slave drivers are mistreating him, and so treating them. And so now he's coming down to do something about it. And he's going to bring them to this amazing land, a land that's currently occupied by five pretty rough and dangerous nations. But he's going to deliver them there. And at this, Moses must have been excited, ecstatic, because this is what he wanted. This is what he wanted back in Egypt. This is what he was so excited about. And so what's taking so long, God? Yeah, let's do this. What's your amazing plan? Because those are some daunting nations there. Let's hear the plan, Lord. And that's when God tells him, "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Me." Are you sure you've got the right guy here, Lord? I'm a murderer. I'm an outcast. I'm rejected by both the Egyptians and the Hebrews, and you want to send me. And I've just seen your power. I've just seen you bending the laws of your creation, and now you want to send me. Who am I, Moses says, that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt, when I'm me and you're God? You understand what Moses is going through here? I think we've felt similarly before. When we look at ourselves and we see our own brokenness, our own unworthiness, our own faults and sins, especially those pet sins that we just continually fall into, and we think, why me? I'm so unworthy of God's love, so unworthy to even be called his child. But then to hear these readings tonight that not only has God chosen you, but now he even wants to make his appeal through you. He even wants to show others his love through you. And it leaves you thinking, who are we? Who am I that I should do this? But what's so interesting is when Moses asks, "Who am I?" God actually ignores his question completely. He doesn't say, "Well, Moses, come on, you've shown a lot of zeal for me before. You'll be a great choice. No, Moses, you've really led the sheep well. Israel's not much different." No. He ignores the question and says this, "And God said, I will be with you." This wasn't about who Moses was or the shortcomings that Moses saw in himself. God was the one who had made this plan. God was the one who would carry this out through Moses. "This will be the sign to you," God says, "that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you, along with them," it's a you plural, "will worship God on this mountain." So when Moses was left wondering, how could God accomplish this through me, God assures him that it's not about who he is, Moses, but who God is. And he reminds Moses of his gracious presence, and he tells him exactly how it's going to end. And then in Deuteronomy 6 this evening, it had actually already happened. They had worshiped God on that mountain, and now Moses was fearlessly proclaiming to the Israelites to hold on to their God, because God made it happen. And God is doing the same for you. He's been doing it through 175 years of our Synod's history, reminding you that he is with you, and he's reminding you through church, through your Bible reading, how it ends in the promised land, in heavenly glory. And that is what encourages us to move forward. But we're sinners. We have our doubts, and Moses did too. He was worried still some more, and he was actually worried many more times in Exodus 4. But he asks, like, "Well, what if they just don't accept me? Who should I say sent me?" And God gives him this powerful name. He says, "I am who I am." He's the God who was and is to come. Don't doubt. I have this all under control. God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you." Moses is beginning to understand. It's not about who he is. It's about who God is. It's not about how Moses is sufficient or even insufficient. It's about the amazing things God does through broken people like Moses, like you and me. And that really serves the message, doesn't it? Even secular advertising understands this. You're not going to see a commercial for some new medicine with some chiseled bodybuilder on the screen telling you, yes, this medicine saved my life. I'd be nothing without this medicine. No. They know to show you someone who you can tell would have been weak and lost without it, who needed that life-saving medicine. That's what God does too, but even in a more wonderful way. He's been using broken people throughout the generations to show his love and his strength, his power. Because what an example Moses would be as he stood before the Israelites there, as he spoke the words of Deuteronomy, of God's grace for the broken. What an example Peter would be. Oh, we know Peter, Mr. Deny Jesus three times. But what an example he would be when he stood up and preached in the book of Acts, when he wrote those beautiful epistles for us. What an example Paul would be. And actually, take Paul's word for it. He said in 1 Timothy that Christ saved him, chose him, so that he might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. And God's been doing the same ever since. Moses to Peter to Paul, all the way to Pastor Kuski, to some tutor from Luther Prep, and to the Luther Prep students that are going to be here on Sunday, who will one day, God willing, fill your pulpits and classrooms to teach you even more about this loving God and teach your children about him too. This is how God would have it be. His ministry, his church, full of people who know the full extent of who we are, sinners, so unworthy of God's love, so unworthy to be called his children. But who is he? The compassionate and gracious I am, who's in the habit of doing amazing things through broken people like you and me. And so let's embrace that together. And God will keep doing this. In fact, he made the promise. He says, this is to be my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. And as a tutor, a dorm supervisor at Luther Prep School, I can tell you that God is making this true. No matter what they say, whatever stereotypes are out there about Gen Z or Gen Alpha, I can tell you that each night I get to have a conversation with a young high school man who's thinking about serving God with his life, just about every night. Young men and women who are embracing who they are, the broken sinners that they are, who are in need of a Savior, but embracing that very Savior who has saved them and made them whole. And like I said, one day, God willing, they may even be preaching and teaching you and your children and grandchildren. So in the meantime, pray. Pray for them. Encourage them. They might need an encouragement or two or three, maybe even six. That's actually how many Moses ends up needing in Exodus 4:2. And how do you encourage them? Embrace together the full extent of who we are, sinners in need of a Savior, and who he is. The great I am, who saw your misery and sin, who came down in the flesh to do something about it, so that now your who am I is God's own child. Because who is he? The compassionate and gracious God from generation to generation. Praise be to him. And now praise him to others as he makes his appeal through you. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's speak together the words of our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
We
believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for our prayer of the church. And I need to get it from the bulletin that I left up there. Our offering will be at the door, as usual, on Thursday evenings. And I just realized you don't have your part of this prayer, so I'll be praying it. All right. It is supposed to be a responsive prayer on the screen. Teach us knowledge and good judgment, that we may trust in your commands. Show mercy to us, Lord. Pour out your grace, faith, and love on us. You are the one eternal God. I am who I am, unchanging in your love and faithful in all things. Strengthen our faith in your promise. Give us humble hearts that marvel at your grace. Show mercy to us, Lord. Pour your grace, faith, and love on us. Your Son once called tax collectors and sinners to follow him. With your gospel, move our hearts to reach out to those who do not know you, that they may turn, believe in you, and receive eternal life. Show mercy to us, Lord. Pour out your grace, faith, and love on us. Faithful God, look on your people who are oppressed and persecuted because of their faith. Guide the nations of the earth that your people may freely worship and proclaim your kingdom. Show mercy on us, Lord. Pour your grace, faith, and love on us. Bless all who encourage us with your word, pastors, teachers, and Christian friends. Let their joy in your love overflow, that they may guide, uplift, and strengthen their brothers and sisters in Christ. Show your mercy to us, Lord. Pour your grace, faith, and love on us. In your mercy, you hear the cries of those who suffer. With your love and power, relieve the misery of those who struggle with hardships of all kinds. Give strength, healing, and patience, and deliver in your time. Show mercy to us, Lord. Pour out your grace, faith, and love on us. Lord God, we pray for the family of Ron Steve Sr., who passed away on Tuesday. His funeral will be not this Friday, but the next. We pray for the family. We rejoice in your loving care, that you preserved him through some difficult days and kept him faithful to the end. You blessed him with communion that came to him until you took him to be with you. Continue to bless us with those kind of gifts, that we may rejoice forever with you. Listen, Lord, to the thoughts and cares of our hearts. Gracious Father, in your great goodness, you call sinners to repentance and then call them to your service. Give us the power to withstand temptation, turn from all the deceptions of the world, and follow you. Through your mercy, O our God, you are blessed, and live and govern all things now and forever. Amen. Our offering is at the box by the door. We'll continue with our sacrament. Please rise. I believe we are on page 165 in your hymnal for setting one. The Lord be with you. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock until he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Holy, blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. And by his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen. And we continue by praying the prayer we continue to learn. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Hey, we'll work on both sides then, and we ask that those who are in fellowship with us, who believe the same thing we do, would come and join us at God's table. That means mainly people who agree with the Wells and her sister churches. Come, for everything is now ready.
Please rise.
We are on page 170, if you are following along. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup,
we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this saving gift. We pray that through it, you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Be seated, and we are concluding with God's Word is Our Great Heritage, hymn 640. God's Word is Our Great Heritage. Good evening once again. A bunch of announcements in your service folder. There's a neat devotion at the end, and if it catches you, like it caught some of your called workers, this is the book from which it came. There will be a sign up for you out there. And event by candlelight is planned for December 5th. Trunk or treat happens soon. We still need a bit of candy to give the kids to rot their teeth out, right? And then we need a lot of people there to come up and show up and dress up a little in the parking lot with the, you know, have your trunk open and a fun theme. What was it? The Manises came as gnomes the other year. I thought that was cool. They both looked like little gnomes. All right. Great way for us to address our community and get a chance to talk to them. We thank Ryan Gergel, Pastor Gergel, who is from Watertown. He serves, and we give him great kudos for dealing with 300 of other people's teenagers. So that's what he does every day. On Sunday, LPS will be here. Please join us if you can come again. It'll be a little bit different service, and we'll hear those kids sing. So join me as we go up the aisle.
The Sunday Morning Worship Hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch the service in St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in four-year-old preschool through the eighth grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. For more information about our congregation, please visit www.stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television program today was produced by Will Underwood. This is Brent Bailey. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere. Next FM. You've been listening to the Lutheran Hour. Brought to you weekly by Trinity Lutheran Church at 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells. Worship Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Family Bible Study Hour is at 8:30 a.m. on Sundays.
Jesus calls the Spirit the Helper, but He does not only give the Spirit to one person. He gives the Helper to many, not to one member of the church, but to the whole church.
God's help is not only on the way, God's Helper dwells in us and with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Leo Sanchez explains today on the Lutheran Hour. I'm Mark Eicher. Thanks for making the Lutheran Hour part of your day. This program is listener-supported. Your gifts and prayers help in bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Learn more at LutheranHour.com.